and gentlemen, welcome to The Psy Effect, a show that deals with hot topics from all directions. And now, introducing the funny, the talented, the charismatic, the captivating, the woman who tells it like it is, your host, I am Psy.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Psy Effect Radio Show. I am Psy, your host. First, I want to thank all of my family and supporters on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. Thank you guys so much for supporting the Psy Effect movement. I could not do this without you, because there's no way in hell I'll be sitting up here talking to myself every day. Real talk, for real. Now, you guys know how infatuated I have become with reality shows. I said in 2012 that I was going to skim down on the reality shows and not watch them a whole lot, because a lot of them have become a little bit redundant, but I lied. I've been checking out this new reality show for the last couple of weeks called Starter Wives, and Starter Wives is about the wives that were with the entertainers long before they made it, before the $1 million, before the Bentleys, before all of that. And today I have Floyd Mayweather Jr. ex Josie Harris. Josie is a vivacious, talented, driven young woman who fell in love with Floyd Mayweather Jr., undefeated professional champion, when they were both still teenagers. Now, in many ways, they rescued each other from the realities of broken homes and growing up too fast. After years of push and pull and trying to make things work, Josie and Floyd's main purpose is to be the best parents to the three children they share together. And today on the Psy Effect Radio Show, Josie's going to talk about her ex, Floyd Mayweather, their domestic dispute, how did she become a reality star, what was the motivation behind it, and her entrepreneurship adventures. So stay locked. Don't go nowhere. I'll be right back with Josie L. Harris right after this.
What up, y'all? It's comedian Rodney Perry, and you listen to the Psy Effect Radio Show. Psy, you off the chain, baby.
It's your girl, Psy. Tune in to the Psy Effect Radio Show 4 days a week. That's right, I said it, 4 days a week. You can catch me here on www.blogtalkradio.com/The Psy Effect Radio Show 4 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. Please welcome from Starter Wives Confidential, the beautiful Miss Josie Harris.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You know, we are glued to this show. First, I want to say thank you guys for bringing a show on like this, because there are so many girls that think that being in a relationship and being married to an entertainer, celebrity, is just all glitz and glamour. And I want to thank you guys for just putting it out there that, you know, listen, it's more that goes on behind the bubbly, the shopping, the cars, and all of that. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You know, it's not easy, and you're absolutely right when you bring that to the attention that, you know, sometimes people are blinded by the facade where they think that, you know, oh, it's so easy, and it might be when women with a man that is already successful, but in our situation, what us women have in common is that we met them before they were famous and before they were successful. You know, it's very easy to love somebody when they're already famous and they're sitting on millions and millions of dollars and you have no worries in the world. But even then, you know, I mean, these men have worked very hard for all of the accolades that they are enjoying in their life right now. But it came with a price. And it also came with a price for us as as women who were very young at the time that stood behind them and, you know, took the back seat to support them and, you know, wishing them and rooting them on to succeed.
And that has to be the most difficult part of it, is just when you've been with someone from the beginning and you've taken the back seat and you're not able to completely reap the benefits of the success. You know, that has to be the hardest part to deal with, is it?
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of things that run through your mind. You know, you want to throw them off a cliff.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Throw them down the stairs. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of different emotions that definitely come with, you know, some of the bitterness that you might feel initially, of a sense of, oh, I might deserve this, or I think that, you know, even though we didn't have a piece of paper that actually said that we were married, I was his wife. I played his wife. We lived together. We raised three children together. You know, he made lunches in the morning. He took the kids to school in the morning sometimes. You know, I was very close with his family, and I still am. And though we did not make it to the altar, we very much so lived like a married couple for a really long time. And it is difficult to deal with the reality that I don't have that white picket fence with the dog barking and the kids running around and screaming and yelling with excitement when dad walks through the door, you know, but stuff happens in life, and Starter Wives Confidential show why it's so, you know, not only just different from other reality television shows, why it's so empowering is that because it does have a lot of heart, and we have a lot in common with the men that we dealt with while we were younger.
Did Floyd have any issue with you coming on or being a part of Starter Wives Confidential?
When I first initially told him I was going to do a reality television show, it actually wasn't initially with TLC. I had been approached by other shows. Mm-hmm. I decided on my own and with my managers, Julie Brown's advice, that some of the networks weren't quite fit to tell my story and really get my story across. So when I decided to go with TLC, I don't believe that he really knew exactly what how we would be portrayed and what exactly what we were talking about. You know, everybody kind of gets nervous as soon as you say the RT word. Right. You know, because it's scary and it's very improv and unpredictable. But at the end of the day, you know, Floyd knows me as Josie, and I know Floyd as Floyd. And I'm somebody that has been there for him through thick and thin from the very beginning. And nothing has changed through that, through all of our obstacles, through all of our, you know, very public domestic violence issues, you know, and prior to him becoming into his prime fame, you know, we had other domestic violence issues that, you know, weren't so relevant to the public, but they were there, you know, and we worked through them. And just like everyone has issues and personal family things that they deal with on a daily basis. But because Floyd is famous, you know, ours played out in public. So that wasn't always easy. But to answer your question and not get too sidetracked, he wasn't too excited about me doing the show but I feel like it was more of a lack of knowledge of what it was really about.
Right,
I did get a call from him the day after the show aired, and, you know, he was super supportive. He said, hey, I got a few phone calls. I wasn't able to watch the show because I've been traveling, but I got a few phone calls and said that the show was kind of wild. You know, and we're trying to be two great parents and parents of the three children that we have together. So he said, hey, Josie, you know, congratulations, but just make sure you talk to the kids about how television is just a form of entertainment, like how I do on 24/7. And just make sure that the kids know that. And I said, okay. He didn't say anything bad, anything negative. And okay, that actually gave me a huge boost of confidence to, you know, I felt like I could conquer the world after that phone call because I had no idea what he was going to say when he was going to call.
Floyd Mayweather is known as the money man. Now, I'm sure he's doing what he has to do to take care of the family, the kids. But what was your motivation? Was money your motivation to do the reality show, or what was your motivation to do the show?
My motivation to do the show was, there was a few things. It was the timing. You know, right after going through a really public breakup and domestic violence situation, you know, you're not, the first thing I did, I can't speak for everybody else, but the first thing I did is I went into protective mode. My first concern was my kids, making sure my kids are okay, making sure my kids are happy, making sure, you know, I went straight into Mama Bear and it was all about them, getting them stable, getting them situated. You know, I relocated. And as time passed and as I had, you know, come into healing within myself and was able to come into forgiveness for myself and then for him, I was then ready to actually talk about it and say, you know what? I've got to, this is a time where, you know, I'm an adult. I have a freedom of speech. I'm ready to tell my story and step out into my own. And not in a biased way where I'm throwing Floyd under the bus, but in a way where I'm accepting responsibility for my mistakes and you know, just telling my side of the story. And with all that, not only, you know, am I telling my side of the story, but I've got a business that I started, that I've created. I have a book that I have finished and written. So, you know, it's a great platform to launch my businesses in a very positive way.
And you're empowering women as well. You're letting them know that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm not trying to convert anyone to a religion. I'm not trying to, you know. All I am is I'm telling my story and I'm honest. Mm-hmm. And people can take from it what they would like to take from it, and people who don't always like, you know, everyone's not going to always agree with the way you live your life or the choices that you make, but it's not for them. This is my story. And also, you know, there was a time when I was going through my situation where I felt alone, you know, and I felt like no one understood me, no one. Like, who else has been through this? I just, I didn't know who to turn to, who to talk to. And, you know, if I could say anything to any young woman who's ever been in a volatile relationship, you know, that you're not alone. That, you know, my neighbors go through the same thing, but they're not living it out in the public eye, you know. And, and I don't condone any type of violence or domestic violence in any way. I believe that things do happen. This is life. Nobody is perfect. Stuff occurs. And, you know, if I can just reach one woman and say, you know, you're not alone. You're beautiful. You do not have to put up with any type of disrespect or negativity. And that's not a way of life. It's not okay. There's nothing healthy. There's nothing cool about that.
It's okay to let it go.
And it's okay to let it go. And it's okay to say no.
Right.
And you know, Floyd and I got together when I was 16 and he was 19. So we were really young and making a lot of very young choices and living off of emotion. So,
right.
You know, it's my 33-year-old self. I'm sorry. I just had a birthday. We could say 32.
Happy belated birthday.
You know, it's my 33-year-old self talking to my 16-year-old self and saying, love you, forgive yourself, and this is you stepping into empowerment of no more codependency and empowerment of becoming your own woman.
That is awesome, and I know so many women are going to be able to relate to you, or should I say are relating to you right now, and they are probably dealing with the same situations that you have dealt with and you've overcome, and I'm just happy that you and Floyd were able to, you know, get it together and say, listen, at the end of the day, it's about the children, and that's just the most important thing of all, the kids. What do you tell the kids about the reality show?
Well, you know, they unfortunately have had an exposure to entertainment with Floyd kind of introducing that into their lives at a very early age. So they pretty much can, they know the difference between, and they take acting classes and stuff themselves. So they know the difference between who mom is at home. You know, I came straight home from New York and went to carpool the next morning. You know,
wow.
So it's like, you know, they get it. And it's even like the tutors who come to the house and tutor my children. She said, oh my God, I watched the show. I've never met that Josie. All I know is like the mommy Josie that's like cooking every day and taking out the kids. And so they do understand that it is a form of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful enough that my kids are a little bit older. They're not too young that I can sit down and have a conversation with them. And like Floyd said when he called and said, you know, just make sure that they clearly know that, you know, reality television is a television show and it's a form of entertainment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, tell us about, you know, you made a comment about Floyd's fiance. Everybody was like going crazy over the Miss Dade County. Now, I'm from Dade County, and I don't know what that means. Can you explain for us?
And, you know, it might sound a little salty, which I was feeling salty, you know.
Well, you have the right to feel salty. You know what
I mean? Yeah,
I
mean, I had three children, and I had made a few phone calls to her about, hey, you know, I have a family that I'm trying to raise.
Mm-hmm.
I see that you're really, really pursuing Floyd, and in our phone calls, she would tell me that, oh, I'm not talking to him anymore, and you know, that was hard. Here I am fighting for my family, and I'm calling up her especially, because she's very persistent.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't care. She went to she took any measure to even lie to me personally to say that she wasn't messing with him when I found her number and called her on a few occasions to just keep whatever it is or get whatever it is that she wanted from him at the time. And, very conveniently so, as violence hit, he was all of a sudden spontaneously engaged the next day. You know what I mean? So that's the reason why I put it in quotations. I definitely wish him the best of luck with any woman that he ends up marrying in his life. That's if he gets married. I don't know if Floyd will ever get married.
Between you and I don't think he's going to marry. What, they've been engaged for 4 years now?
Yeah, I think it's just, I know for a fact initially it was a huge publicity stunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't take anything away from whatever friendship or bond that they have. That's none of my business. But it's hurtful. And you know, you want to know what? I was hurt by it. My children were hurt by it. They didn't understand that. They had never met her, you know, but they're old enough to go online and look at the stuff. They've obviously met her now, but at the time they had never met her. All they knew was mom and dad, Josie and Floyd. So, you know, things have kind of played out throughout the years. Like I do say on television, I did have sex with him one time within those few years that we were separated. We had not had sex or any type of intimate relationship or, you know, since then. But, you know, we can, when it comes to pick up the kids, you know, I can give him a hug and he's very respectful to me. You know, I'm always, of course, anybody would be a little nervous when he calls up after the show, you know, because I value his opinion and I just never know, you know, what type of mood he's going to be. So, but it was really refreshing to hear him, you know, be supportive and be okay with what I'm doing and the movement that I make. And I think that a lot of men respect women who are stepping into their own and doing their own thing and empowering themselves, because they have to empower themselves to be able to empower their children and empower their partner and empower other people in their lives.
Yes, I agree. Now, Monica accused you of drinking too much. How did you feel about that?
No, I think it was Tashira, right? DMX's ex accused me of drinking too much.
Okay.
Well, you know, Floyd accuses me of drinking too much. I think people who don't drink, they don't drink. So if you have two or three glasses of wine, they feel like it's drinking too much, and that's not even a full bottle. You know what I mean? So, you know, Tashira is somebody that goes to church and fasts, you know, and, you know, religious people sometimes have their own way, you know, of lifestyle, and to each his own. I've never got a DUI ever in my life. I have never had a problem or a dependency on alcohol. When I was out in New York, I wasn't around my children. I was by myself and on my own. I can do whatever it is. If I want to, like, be bent over the next day throwing up over a toilet, that's just my prerogative. But that's not something that I can do on a daily basis when I'm having to get up at 6 a.m. in the morning and go to carpool. Like, for example, last night, not only, you know, my neighbor had to pick up her her sister from the airport at midnight and asked me to watch her two children that go to junior high school with my oldest son and to get them to school in the morning. And I feel like if I had a problem with alcohol or if I had any type of dependency problem, other people would not trust me with their children. There's certain things that, you know, are brought up in reality television, and it's just part of the show. And I'm confident enough to, with myself and who I am as a person, to say that anybody can kiss my ass in that aspect. Because at the end of the day, you know, I'm an amazing mother, and other people would not trust me with their kids if I had any type of problem. So that's not even something that I'm concerned with. I think it's actually pretty funny. And I even told my doctor, I have been consuming a whole lot of alcohol. I even gained weight from it. I'm over here like detoxing right now from all of the wine that I drank when I was in New York. And you want to know what? You have to drink wine to deal with those bitches.
You sure do, that's for sure. I'm not a drinker, but when I do sip on a little wine, I can't drink but a half a glass, girl. I am out. I am a cheap drunk. Okay.
Yeah. Well, my family originates from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and we can hold our liquor well, and we cuss like sailors. So when I got the phone calls from them after the show, they were very proud of me.
Hilarious. Now, which are the ladies that you are the most closest to on the show?
I would say the ladies that I would be most closest with to on the show, first of all, was Shaniqua. I actually, she was my biggest influence in even going out to New York to do the show. And unfortunately, you know, she was silenced.
Mm-hmm.
And that was super heartbreaking for her to not go on that journey with me because I went out there to do it with her.
Wow.
I got close to Monica and Liza. If I was to put it in order, it would definitely be Shaniqua, Monica, Liza, Tashira, Cheryl, and then Zakiya.
Okay. Okay.
Or maybe even Zakiya, then Cheryl, but me and Zakiya, as you watch the show, we kind of have a...
Oh, yes.
A falling out.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really going down that night. Oh, my God. They're talking
which
off
is
on
fine,
the first
you know,
night.
We're just, I know. We're just, you know, when women are around each other for a very
Girl.
Long time, things happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's okay because at the end of the day, and if you watch the full 8 episodes, you will see all of us and all of our friendships come full circle. Which is really cool.
That was the next question I was going to ask you. What can we expect from Josie? What are we going to see? You know, can you tell us any more about the businesses that you're doing? Anything that we should be looking out for and supporting you on?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. I have a book coming out, and it's a semi-fictional memoir about my relationship with Floyd when we first started when I was 16, and it's very well written like a story. Will probably turn into a movie.
Okay.
I've gotten his blessing from his mother. Floyd has not actually taken the time to read it. I'll probably have to read it to him. And
Man, don't read them. It's in his picture.
I have a company that I've started since I was 17 called Nappy Sacks. I used to throw a lot of baby showers.
Okay.
And I created this line called Nappy Sacks, which is an actual diaper made into a bag. People overseas call diaper nappies, and sack is a bag like. And I have them being manufactured in San Diego, all made in the USA, sulfate-free and paraben-free lotion and soap with a lavender candle that comes inside of it. And, you know, just venturing out into my own independence. I know Floyd's not going to be boxing for the rest of his life, so,
right.
You know, it's time to just, you know, kick it into full gear and put the pedal to the metal. As far as my relationship with the women and what's going to happen on the show, I don't want to give any, like, spoiler alerts, but...
Mm-hmm.
There are some crazy, very fun moments that come up, and it just gets better and better with each episode.
Well, we're going to be glued, Starterwise, Confidential, and we're going to have our popcorn,
that.
Our wine, our Kool-Aid,
so
or whatever
amazing.
We need.
Thank you.
Thank you so
it's
much.
So amazing.
Crazy.
Thank you. You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
I appreciate you having me. I am going to do like a get together gumbo tour for my book. So maybe you know you can come out and hang out with
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It would be a pleasure. Now, how can we? You know, where can we connect with you? Twitter, website. How can everybody connect with you to keep up with everything that you're doing and can keep up with when the book is going to be released and all that good stuff.
I am on Twitter. My Twitter name is Josie L. Harris, and my Facebook is the same, Josie L. Harris, and my Instagram is the same, Josie L. Harris. L is my middle name, Lynn.
Okay. And you have a website?
And I have a website. It's josieharris.com, and I try and blog daily.
Okay, great. We're going to continue to support your movement. I wish you much, much success, Josie. Girl power,
Thank you.
Let's go.
Thank you. Yay,
yes.
Girl power.
When you tell you, when you're ready to promote that book, by all means, let's make it happen. You can come back on the
show. Oh, I know, absolutely, for sure. You'll be one of the first that I call. Please come out.
Thank you so much. Thank you, honey.
Again, I want to thank my guest tonight, Miss Josie Harris. Continue to support the movement, guys. You can follow Josie on Twitter, Josie L. Harris on Twitter. And don't forget to check out her website, josieharris.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter. I am Psy on Twitter. I am Psy on Instagram. I am Psy just about everywhere. So connect with me. Tell me what you think about the interview. Tell me who you'd like to see on the show next. Or if you have an Ask Psy question, I'm always open to that. You can email those to thepsyeffect@gmail.com. I may not have a PhD in relationships, baby, but I do have a PhD in common sense and life experiences. So tune in to the show Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And catch me on iTunes podcast, The Psy Effect. Until next time, continue to spread peace and love.